Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Been quite some One Day International, sometimes maligned as a format, certainly ignored of late given the huge amount of T20 cricket that has been played all around the world in all places in the southern hemisphere at this moment in time. But that victory by South Africa in this first of three One Day Internationals in Bloemfontein and Kimberley has been quite something to behold. I have Mickey Arthur with me, who can barely believe what he has just seen. We've both written off the South Africans by halfway. You are listening to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm Mark Butcher. And as I've said, Mickey Arthur joins me to look back at this first One Day International between the Proteas and England in Bloem. And South Africa coming back from likely defeat to win a thriller by 27 runs. We'll try and dissect an incredible turnaround from the host, look back at Jofra Archer's return to international cricket for the first time in 22 months, and discuss a much-needed return to form for Jason Roy. We'll also get the very latest post-match reaction from the Mangwang Oval. So plenty to come over the next 20 minutes or so. You are listening to Following On. So that was quite extraordinary. England collapsing in quite spectacular style in a run chase in which they looked to have completely under control when the score was 151-1. Jason Roy making a blistering century to silence the doubts in his own head and doubtless those around the country. Mickey Arthur is with me. Mickey, let's start at the beginning then. England out there in South Africa, a lot of their players playing in the SA T20, all of the players really in tip-top form going into this series. It meant more to South Africa, or the win means more to South Africa in terms of their qualification for the World Cup, with England having qualified already. When I heard Themba Bavuma at the very beginning of this match during the toss, he seemed to be a little bit downbeat, as though, well, we haven't got a great deal of chance of getting anything out of this series, let alone securing our place in the World Cup over these next five games. That's going to have done the world of good for their confidence, isn't it?
It certainly is. And the reason I paused there was because I was just pondering the day, and I think you summed it up. We've seen an abundance of 2020 cricket, but 50 overs has still got an appeal, hasn't it? The game turned and the game swayed in different directions through the day. South Africa were hungry. They were really hungry for that win today, and you could see the exuberance in their faces. You could see the effort of those fast bowlers towards the back end of that innings. I think if we take the start away from South Africa today, particularly with the ball, after 15 overs, 20 overs or so, they were out the game. Malan and Roy were outstanding, but they found a way to win it. And sides with a lot of hunger, sides with a lot of desire, always seem to find a way. And South Africa had that today.
Certainly did. 151-1 England were, and that turned into 271 all out. So 120 for 9 they lost. And South Africa looked down and out at points during the run chase. But boy, when that door opened, they came piling through it. Let's go back to the beginning of the day then. South Africa opening up the day, winning the toss, deciding that they were going to set a total against England, which has been fraught with danger for teams over the years. But England were happy with the toss. South Africa were happy with the toss. How do you think South Africa went about it with the bat? And from an England perspective, and we'll bring in Jared Kemba here as well, the big news around the announcement of the teams was the fact that Jofra Archer was going to play for the first time in 20 months or so. So South Africa's approach with the bat, Jared, I'll get some feedback from you on how Jofra went in his first stint back for England for a while.
But certainly with the bat, I think South Africa would be a little bit disappointed. They started off really well. We saw a really good opening partnership. Both players that opened the batting got themselves in. I thought de Kock looked in sublime form today. I thought the way he was playing was outstanding. He would have been disappointed to get out for 35. We saw a really good 100 from Rusty van der Dussen. I thought he played exceptionally well. The key to his 100 was he gave himself a chance. He got himself in. He was tough and tight on the basics around the first 20 balls, which most class batsmen do. Once he got himself in, once he got used to conditions, etc., he then pushed on and carried their innings to get them to nearly 300, which we said was probably only just par. But South Africa's desire and hunger then with the ball. They were poor, I thought, at the start of their innings with the ball, but came back exceptionally well. And their quick men, and that was started by Magala. Magala came on, and he opened the door. And then Magala, Arnold Norkie, and Rabada, to a point, came in and bowled with a lot of pace, with a lot of aggression, with a lot of fire. Tested England a lot with a short ball. England, a lot of dismissals with a short ball today. Now, I know that's with conditions. Bloemfontein, very big, particularly square the ground, means you can get men back and you can use your short ball to quite good effect, which South Africa did. That's something that would worry England just a little bit, because they were rattled at times by the pace of Norkie.
It's not the first time Norkie has done it to them either. I mean, he took 5 for against England at Chesley Street. Similar conditions, actually, in terms of a huge outfield, using the short ball, roughing up the middle and lower to middle order. So perhaps a bit of a concern there for England, but certainly no concerns in terms of South Africa's strategy in backing their specialist bowlers, if you like. They might leave them a tiny bit short with the bat, but the specialist bowlers justified that team selection today.
100%, and I know we discussed the toss. I think South Africa 100% right to win the toss and bat, particularly in Bloemfontein on that wicket. But you want to put your perceived strength under the most pressure. South Africa's perceived strength, without a doubt, is their bowling. So they would feel in their dressing room and in their strategy meeting, they would feel if we can get ourselves to 300 odd, we have the bowling that can defend that. And it was proved right today.
Intense disappointment from an England point of view, Jared. I know that doesn't bother you at all, being a proud Victorian of the Australian variety. Some good news, at least at the beginning of the day, when Jofra Archer was named in the 11. How do you think he went?
Well, he said he was going to bowl at about 80%, didn't he? And he bowled 88 miles an hour in his first over. So I hate to see what he is when he gets to 100%. Look, I think if you look at his figures, you're going to say he didn't bowl particularly well. And he certainly bowled, I would say, maybe one ball per over that got hit. So did David Willey, to be fair, as well. And so did the South African bowlers when they started off. But I don't think he bowled poorly. One thing I would say is that this was a wicket that really helped the guys who were bowling the cutters. And that's not his form of slow ball. And if you have a look at Norkia's early figures, Norkia's ended up being the hero. But before the lights came on, Norkia was going everywhere. And I think that the faster you bowled, the faster it went. And all the way through Jofra's bowling, he that was the situation. But he looked fit. The ball was getting through. He bowled a leg cutter at one stage that like ripped and like lifted up and took the batter by surprise, how much revolutions he got on the ball. All those sorts of things I thought were very, very good. Figures-wise, probably is the biggest disappointment from Jofra Archer. I think if he bowls when the lights come on and that ball's skidding on a little bit more, What you might have seen is he might have gone for a few runs in his opening spell and then been hard to play later on, which is what happened to all three of the South African quicks.
Mickey, after a layoff like that with one of your bowlers when you were coaching in international cricket, would you be keen to see him go again on Sunday, or would you go sit this one out and come back on Wednesday?
I'd probably err on the side of caution with him. I'd probably say let's not push you, considering he's played for MI Cape Town through the 2020s. I would certainly consider him having a blow and then coming back to what England would hope would be the decider on Wednesday.
Rassie van der Dussen, Jared, he's right up there among the very best to have ever played one day international cricket now. What is he
up
averaging?
There.
He is
briefly the highest.
Briefly the highest.
He got dismissed. He's got the second highest average in the history of ODI cricket for a minimum of 1,000 runs. So I think he's just over 71, just behind Shubman Gill.
And he loves playing against England.
He does. I think he's just got a very organised, structured game plan. We know that he wasn't this good when he was younger. That step after step, he's taken away any of the errors. It's kind of a robotic way that he plays in some ways, but it really works for him. And if you have a look at him in T20 cricket and Test cricket, he gets found out a little bit. But the pace of one day just seems to suit him so well. And you and I were talking off air at one stage, Butch. It's every time you watch South Africa in one day, he's just not out. He's just there all the time. I thought it was a really good innings. And then pairing up with him and David Miller, they were 4 wickets down, and we were going, well, Wayne Parnell's in next. England need one more wicket. And it took England so long to get that wicket that's probably what cost England the game, is that they just couldn't break through. Miller makes runs, Rassie makes 100, and that's probably the difference between South Africa winning, and because otherwise, what were England, none for 146 after 20-odd overs? If they were chasing 270, 260... I think England would, even with the stumble, I think England get home. But it's that extra runs that Rassie and Miller gave them at the end.
Yep, England would have loved to have had a batter go right the way to perhaps the 45th, 46th over for them. As it was, it wasn't to be. Let's hear from England captain Jos Buttler about how he felt about the day. Here he is with Pommy and Bangwa.
Jos, tell me your assessment right now, as it's quite cold, probably haven't had a chance to think about it, but what do you feel?
Yeah, disappointed. Look, I think we played some excellent cricket for the majority of that game. To be in a position after that opening stand, you feel like you should go on and win the game. So we're obviously disappointed not to finish it off.
What did you feel was par as a score? At halfway, how happy were you with 298 on the board?
Yeah, pretty happy, to be honest. I think I think probably the wicket didn't play as well as we thought it would, but it was still a very good wicket for batting. I think the first 10 overs of South Africa's batting innings, it looked a really good pitch. So to come back from there and restrict them to 298, we were very happy.
The general method, when you get such a good start, do you keep going, do you not? And I know the partnership went on for some time, but what generally do you look to do?
Yeah, I think we should keep going. I think to have that conviction and commitment to our game and to keep taking it on, I think that's something that served us well for a very long time. That doesn't always mean trying to hit fours and sixes, but it means imposing ourselves on the game, playing a very positive brand of cricket, and that's what served us well. And I think we didn't quite commit enough to that. Credit to South Africa, they came back really well and took wickets, but I thought we could have kept trying to take it on a bit and put pressure back on them.
Do you think it got more difficult, the pitch?
Yeah, definitely. I think the best time to bat looks like with the new ball. It's when it looked like it was at its best. And as you saw it in South Africa's batting innings, and there as it got a little bit older, it got tougher. I think we're disappointed still that we didn't go on to win.
Well, bad luck today and all the best for the next one.
Thank you.
Yeah, honest assessment from England captain Jos Buttler there. I think you could hear that tinge of disappointment in his voice that he felt that they'd done well enough for 75% of the game to have got over the line, but didn't quite see it through. South Africa posting 298 then. Van der Dussen with 111 from 117, and David Miller adding a bit of sauce at the very end with 53 from 56. Got them to that 298. And then, of course, comes the main part of the game, I suppose, England's run chase. They get off to an absolute flyer. New opening partnership of Milan and the under fire, under pressure Jason Roy, and they basically tore the much vaunted South African pace attack apart at the opening. Be very shocked people that turned off perhaps at 150 for one, that the result is as it is. But let's start with that opening partnership, and let's start with Jason Roy.
Yeah, he came in. We talked about him in preparation, didn't we? Saying, you know, he's not playing pace bowling as well as he used to. Hasn't played a one-day game for Surrey since the last World Cup. You know, plays a little bit for England every now and again. But even in T20 cricket, we could see there'd been a little bit of slippage. He looked just so sharp with his feet. You know, having seen him for a while, hands sort of going across like a curtain rail at times, not coming down the wicket, you know, as strong. Everything looked great, even against left-arm seam, which he's not as good at. He played Wayne Parnell beautifully early on. And Dawood Milan does what Dawood Milan does. We got an angry tweet at one stage, someone going, another flat pitch and Dawood Milan stat padding again. Well, I tell you what, they would have liked him to stat pad a little bit longer, I think, in this particular one. You know, I mean, he was the perfect guy to get that home. And it does show you how, I do think, to be fair to the England openers, and Butler said it there, so much easier to bat with the newish ball. And then it was, I think it was probably the hardest to bat under the with the old ball under lights. But even so, from that start, it shouldn't have ended up there, Butch.
Exactly what we spoke about, Rassie van Adison. I thought Jason Roy was outstanding in terms of his commitment to his defence. He seemed to trust his defence again, which he hasn't for a period of time. I thought he hit the ball a lot later, and I thought he wasn't as frantic at the crease. And it's amazing when you give yourself a chance to get in, and unfortunately you play an abundance of 2020 cricket where you don't give yourself that chance. His tempo for one-day cricket today was spot on, which it hasn't been for a long period of time. He played exceptionally well. I thought he was crisp, but feet movement outstanding, execution of shots excellent, balance good. He just looked the genuine deal again today.
Yeah, great return to form from Jason Roy. Perhaps without that 100 today, people might have been questioning his worth at the top of the order in the side at all, let alone in this series. 113 from 91 for Jason Roy, and he did look very much back to his very, very best. Right, we've heard from the England captain, Joss Butler. Now let's hear from Temba Bavuma, once again with Pommy.
Changed very quickly, didn't it?
It did change quickly. I think the man of the match, yeah, I think that's where the game kind of changed for us. He came in there in the middle, got the ball to tail, got a couple of wickets, and really, you know, made things difficult for them. He got us some momentum. I think the guys after him, you know, really rode that momentum well.
298, what you thought at halfway, and what you thought when that partnership, first wicket partnership, was going?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, Pom, after I went out, after Quinnie went out as well, I thought it was a good wicket. I was thinking of in excess of 300. Obviously, you know, Rassi, David, they summed it up a bit differently. Wicket got a bit slower. Ball got a bit soft as well. They also bowled a bit well, which they felt that they couldn't really get going. So at the end, you know, we got 300. Still felt that we were a little bit below par, but at the end, I guess it was enough.
And in trying to arrange which way you'd go, how you'd go, trying to find some sort of breakthrough as that partnership was going on, tell me what was going through your mind.
I think you got to keep staying in the game. I think the way their partnership started, you know, similar to ours in terms of, you know, the ball was coming on. They played well, and they did it for a longer period than Quinny and myself did. I think at that point, you gotta still have confidence in your bowlers. A guy like Makala, they haven't really seen much of him, so he's always gonna be of a threat. Wasn't expecting him to do that, but I was expecting one of the bowlers at least to do something special for us.
It wasn't just one, was it? Sisanda as well as KG at the back, and also Anrich, and then to finish it off, Shamu.
Yeah, everyone played their part in some part of the game. KG obviously didn't start too well, but then the way he came up made it up for us. Same as Andrich as well, you know. But then again, Andrich, he showed his quality, showed his raw pace, you know, which is obviously a big advantage for him. Obviously, a guy like Sisanda, they spoke about Pani as well. You know, he also played his role. And then Shamsi, obviously, there at the end, you know, not having a good day, but coming in and cleaning it up for us.
What do you say in there to ensure you come back and go again and do better next time?
I think, Pom, like I said in the presser, we're trying to shift our focus a lot from just the result, but it's more about how we want to go about our cricket. I think the conversation that we're going to have is, are we happy about the way we went about our business, especially with the bat? And if we're happy, then I'm happy. If not, then we'll have the conversations. Obviously, we'll take the win. We need it. We need the points. But I think that's going to be the large focus for us. Are we happy with the way we went about our business?
Well done today. All the best for the next one.
Thank you, Bobby.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Well, man of the match there was a man that Themba Bavuma mentioned in dispatches, and that was Sisanda Magala. His 3 for 46 really turned the match on his head. He's had his issues with weight and missing out on fitness tests, and he's a big man, but he's got a lot of talent, a really strong wrist that shook up one or two of the England players with a short ball. Here he is with Tommy Mbangwa.
Tell me how happy you are with that.
Very happy, considering the position we were in. They had a great start, and we sort of, like, you know, the game is going one direction. So to pull off that type of win was really good for us.
You kind of hung around as Themba rung the changes before you came into the attack. Was there constant chit-chat, or was it a case of you standing there and watching and waiting for your chance?
It was a bit of both, but I understood he was trying to read out and suss out the situation, so find where he can fit me at a specific time and see what happens, you know what I mean? So, but that was communicated earlier on, so I was happy.
And in terms of what plans you had in watching what went before, and generally the fact that you operate with the new ball most times and having to come in later?
Yeah, I was like the first change. But is what it is. That's what the game, the situation needed at that time, so I'm chilled.
Talk about your game plan.
My game plan in the middle. Just bowl as straight as possible and hit the length and, yeah, few change up. I try and keep it as simple as possible, to be honest with you, and read the situation.
Today seemed to be about bounces, though.
Some of the guys who batted first innings were saying the bouncer was a little bit too paced. Some will get up, some will keep a little bit low. So we try to use as many as we can to use that steepness. And it worked out for us today, so.
What ball today? It must please you greatly. I'm sure it does.
Yeah, I'm right, yeah. But it's time for rest now. It's time for rest now. Thank you.
Well played today, and all the best with the rest.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
The big man needs his rest, and he bowled quite magnificently, and who can say that he doesn't deserve a bit of a lie-in perhaps tomorrow. Mickey Arthur with a big grin on his face. That's exactly the sort of start this series needed, isn't it? I think South Africa being 1-0 up, England will now have to perhaps ring one or two changes in the batting order. They've said that all 14 members of their squad are going to get a game here. These matches are not as important for England as they are for South Africa. But South Africa might now just believe that they can get their noses in front and give themselves a real chance of qualifying for the World Cup proper. Of course, they've only got 4 games left now, and they probably need to win 3, if not all 4 of them, to qualify.
Yeah, they do. So there is a little nice subplot in the way the series is going to unfold. I think this will certainly rouse England just a little bit. I don't think they'll be happy with today. We heard Josh Butler say they should have got over the line, and they should have. Was their execution in the second half of the game with both bat and ball, was it good enough? Probably not.
Game management. I mean, there were times that Rabada getting a wicket with his very final ball, England not being able to see out the main threat. You know, all of those types of game winner the game situations that England fell away on under pressure at the back end.
100%, exactly right. We spoke about some of the bowlers exiting their over. A lot of sixth balls went for four today, went for boundaries. Those are all skills that they won't be happy with, and disciplines rather that they won't be happy with. So let's not forget, England won the World Cup in the 2020 format last year or this year. Everything merges into one these days. But their form through the English summer in 50 over cricket hasn't been flash of late. So they've got a little bit of thinking to do. They've got to go back to the drawing board, assess how they want to play their game, assess their game plans, assess their strategies, assess their brand, and then move on from there.
Yeah, they haven't got a lot of time to do it. England, notoriously, and particularly going into that T20 World Cup, were kind of making it up seemingly as they went along, and then it came all right on the night. They won't be fazed, they won't be panicked. They are double world champions after all, but they will have to do their thinking and their plotting quickly, because a reminder for you that we'll be back for the second One Day International from Bloemfontein once again on Sunday morning. Different start time this time. It's a day game, so we will be on air at 7:30 a.m. UK time, ahead of the first ball at 8 in the morning. We'll bring you another Following On podcast tomorrow as Neil Manthorpe returns to get more from the England camp. But from all of us here on TalkSport 2, it's a goodbye to you all.
Parnell is on his way for the third ball in, left arm over, all swinging back into Jason Roy, but it swings on to the middle of the bat and it's punched through wide mid on for four. Jason Roy is away. Rabada round the wicket, clipped in the air over mid wicket by Milan, and it's 4.4 this over from Rabada, as Rabada's going to bowl to Jason Roy. Oh, he's clipped that one down to long leg for four. He timed that so well.
Josh Butler and the rest of the England team have their hands above their heads in applause, because Jason Roy has made his 22nd 50 in One Day International cricket.
Oh, he's got an absolute full toss of a pie. One bounce, four, backward of square. David Milan goes to another 50. 51 not out from 49. Delivery. Shamsi's going to bowl left arm around, and Jason Roy smashes him back over his head for a 9. That's 4-6. Clean as a whistle. He just stood there and launched all the way for 6. 142 without loss. Right arm over the goal. He's gone short. Milan's got underneath it. He's dropped his head because it goes straight to the boomer and mid off, who takes the catch. South Africa have their breakthrough, and they could celebrate a second wicket, because Duckett has nicked off against Norkia. Never really looked set at any stage in the 5 balls that he's faced. He wafted at that one, edges it through. He gets taken on the pad from Magala, the bowler likes it. Fingers gone up from Erasmus. What a huge wicket. Harry Brooke, a 3-ball duck.
And Jason Roy reaches 3 figures. And in quick time.
Carter in short to Jason Roy, who pumps it out towards backward square leg, but that is taken. Norkia, that's an edge, that is Butler. Caught behind. Norkia has his second. Now then, it is game on.
As Norkia's in again, he's short. Lead the edge, and he's been caught at point. His straight is shipped up to the bowler, and it's gone straight back to Shamsi. They have pulled off a heist in Bloemfontein. They have beaten England. They've taken the 10th wicket, and they have won the first ODI, beating England by 27 runs.
Bye. first ODI, live and exclusively from Bloemfontein. Only on TalkSport 2.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.